Hello, everyone. Welcome to the fifth episode of the Film Stage Podcast. I am Editor-in-Chief Jordan Raup.
And I'm Staff Writer Dan Mecca.
It is Wednesday, April 15th. Beautiful day.
It was a beautiful day in Buffalo, which is nice.
We got to have a little class outside. It was nice.
Yeah, we had a little powwow outside, a little kumbaya circle. It was beautiful.
Talked a little bit about Let the Right One In, but it's good stuff. Anyways, Dan, how's it going?
It's going well. It's going really well, Jordan. You know, springtime and all that stuff.
And you got your backpack?
I got my backpack for Europe, and that's where I'm going to be putting my little netbook when I go to cover the Cannes Film Festival. I'm not really covering it, but I'll be there, and there will be a little covering involved, hopefully. So we'll keep you updated on that. But for today, we'll stick to the basics, which will be, as per usual, which that's a fancy way of saying, like we usually do. We're going to be talking about some movie news. We're going to be going over a couple of recent trailers that have just been come out on the web, and we're going to be talking about three old movies that we have been catching up on.
Yes.
And finally, a review of the Zac Efron star vehicle, 17 again.
I know. Unfortunately, there wasn't any Crank High Voltage press screening, so.
Yeah, but maybe not unfortunately.
Maybe when you get to the review part, it might be a little different. Yeah, so.
Maybe I want to be 17 again.
I know. Me too. All right. So let's go with movie news, you know? Why not?
Do it. Hit it up.
So Michael Bay, who recently joined Twitter. I'm just kidding. That was fake. He did not. People reported he joined Twitter, but he did not.
I can't believe two people tried to be fake Michael Bay. That makes me sad about the world.
But so, but he joined Twitter, and then it was confirmed by his webmaster of his site. But then he said he's never, ever going to use Twitter. He said it's a waste of time. So I guess he's not on Twitter, so. We'll have to stick to following Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore. So.
Hang on, one quick question. Is Twitter, this is a question to you, Jordan.
Yes.
Is Twitter as much a waste of time as watching The Island?
Oh. Island was decent.
Yeah, touche. Okay.
All right. Okay. Okay, so Transformers Revenge of the Fallen is officially 147 minutes, which is 4 minutes longer than the last one.
Yes.
Yeah. And Michael Bay was interviewed by MTV, and he told MTV, "I don't ever talk to executives about runtime. Studios always ask, what's the runtime? And I'm like, if you enjoy the movie, do you care?"
Right? That's so funny, because that's when I make my movies that are 10 minutes long. Yeah, that's what I think, too.
So there you have it. Bay doesn't ever have to deal with executives over petty things like runtimes, because
he's an auteur.
Makes cash sign.
You know what I mean? He's an auteur. He's about the craft.
But in other Michael Bay news, he held a private screening of his new film for Steven Spielberg today. And Steven Spielberg, guess what, Dan? The executive producer of the film, do you think he liked it?
I don't know. I feel like it's a tough call.
He said it's awesome, direct quote. Direct quote of Michael Bay quoting Spielberg, so who knows. But
the executive producer of a summer blockbuster movie that its production company hinges on said that the movie was awesome.
And Spielberg actually felt that this movie was better than the first.
An improvement upon the first Transformers. Jordan, go on.
Yes, and he goes, it's probably my best. But, you know, who at this point in a movie, you start to lose your objectivity, so who knows? I just hope the fans like it. That's what Bay said.
That was Michael Bay. That's what Michael Bay said.
And, remember when you told me when we were talking about Transformers, how funny it would be if the executive producer, or how different it would be if the executive producer and the director were switch roles?
Yeah, I read that in a New Yorker review. Yeah. He said, you watch and you can't imagine what it would be like had Spielberg directed it and Bay produced it.
Yeah. And I would like to see it. Does Bay like produce stuff? I don't know.
Yeah, of course he does.
Well, he does. No, but like for Michael a prominent Bay. Director, I mean. You know what I mean? Like,
what do you mean?
Like for a prominent director, does he like... Because I know he does like the Halloween.
He starts franchises. You know, he's like a franchise. But I'm saying
if that situation actually happened with Spielberg, like Spielberg does all the story stuff, and the, you know, and then Michael Bay did the
Spielberg,
action.
I don't think Spielberg does a lot of story stuff.
No, oh, okay.
He doesn't write too much.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, like he did the story for Eagle Eye.
Yeah.
But like
I would like to see Michael Bay just do action scenes for a movie, and then have someone else do like everything else and just see how it turns out. Because I feel like,
well, you like a good dual directing kind of a thing, like,
yeah,
that.
Something like that.
Well, kind of like, well, imagine if, you know, because what Spielberg's doing with Peter Jackson, right?
Yeah,
with
Tintin. Yeah.
That would be kind of cool with, you know, Bay and Spielberg. Yeah. But the only thing though, the thing though that you have to remember, mm-hmm. and the biggest difference between Michael Bay and Steven Spielberg, is Steven Spielberg is one of the most romantic directors in the world. Like, all of his movies, you know, people always say this. All of his movies, there's always this kind of optimism going on, yeah. even in the most hardcore of the movies, Saving Private Ryan, Munich, Schindler's List even. There's like this optimism, this heroism, you know, going on in these films. And Michael Bay, he just never even breaches that love of humanity. And like, listen, we bash him a lot, or I bash him a lot. But I mean, the guy is an incredible technical director. But my point is, he just doesn't, I feel, care particularly a lot about that kind of stuff, and that's fine, you know. You know, whatever. Transformers is a fun ride of a movie, and so are most of his other movies. But like for example, you know, Michael Bay made Pearl Harbor. Steven Spielberg made Saving Private Ryan. You know what I mean? Like, just, I mean, I know that's like a crude parallel, but two World War II movies.
Yeah.
Two all-star casts. Yeah. I mean, granted, Ben Affleck's not Tom Hanks, but...
Yeah, but for, at a time, though, like, he was pretty...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, huge production value on both.
Yeah.
I mean, look what each one did, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
And, but, part of this new story, also, there's going to be a brand new Transformers trailer before X-Men Origins, Wolverine, April 1st.
Ooh.
Yeah. And now, Dan, I don't know about you, but there is a screening of Transformers in Philadelphia. 6-7 hour drive. I'm thinking I might do it. It's a month early.
Me and Jordan have discussed this. Well, we did hit Philly on our road trip about a month ago, which actually just looked at the footage of, and a lot of it's, I don't know. It's I mean, some of it's really good. That you took that shot of the plane, right?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It is nice.
Yeah, I just want to let you know. Anyway. Thank you. Yeah, so Philly, after going there, I would have no problem going back. I say let's do it.
I'm down.
Yeah, I say we should do it. I mean 7 hours to go see a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah.
Don't say I've never done it after I do it.
Okay. All right, so next news story. Now, these next two news stories are about a couple movies opening a little earlier than normal. First one is Star Trek, J.J. Abrams' Star Trek. It hits theaters May 8th. It's reported that they will have nationwide screening starting at 7 p.m., on Thursday, May 7th now. So that's a whole 5 hours earlier to see one
of glorious.
The, my most anticipated films of...
That's good.
Yeah, so, and then it got good reviews. And we talked about this last time, but I got some good reviews, you know. It's been opening up.
That's what Indiana Jones, you know, they like... Well, Indiana Jones released on Thursday.
Yeah, so. Well, that's what I was going to say. Transformers did it. Pirates 3 did it at 7 p.m. on...
Right.
They did Indiana Jones
just they just released the movie on Thursday. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like instead of releasing it on Friday. Do you remember that?
Yeah, no.
It was on May 22nd on Thursday, but like not even on Wednesday. That was weird.
Yeah, that is weird. Yeah, so go see it at 7 p.m. I feel like if a movie is going to be released like that early and they're doing all these, like, there's a lot of press screenings going on too for it, so I feel like Paramount has a lot of confidence.
Oh, definitely. So, I mean, I just think at this point, I think they're really confident in their final product. I think the biggest thing you got to be worried about is how many people will just the title Star Trek turn off?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as opposed to obviously how many people will it attract, that's a given. Yeah. But kind of like the Watchmen, it seems like the Watchmen dilemma, you know, because it's like, you know, did people not go to the Watchmen just because they didn't know about it? You know what I mean? They didn't know about it. And like, I mean, obviously there's a lot more loyal Trekkies, but I'm just saying...
Well, did you see the there's a their new TV spot, and the first thing it's, or in the TV spot, it goes, "This is not your father's Star Trek."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, okay, so like that's,
And they aired it on like ESPN and stuff to like to get that crowd.
Is it my brother's Star Trek?
I think it is. Judging from the trailer.
Or my sister's? All right, sounds good.
So, next movie that is getting pushed up is, after being delayed 8 months, it's getting pushed up 2 days. So this is the next Harry Potter film, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. It's going to get a Wednesday, July 15th release instead of July 17th. So I could care less, Dan. How about you?
I like the Harry Potter movies.
No, I do. I like them, but I mean, it's not like.
But I'm not gonna lie to you, and like, I'll be honest. I have yet to see the fifth one.
Dude, I do not. I did not like it.
I know, and like, I know that you didn't like it. I know you didn't like it. But like, I know people who loved it.
Yeah, no, that's why. Because I remember that weekend, I was like, okay, this is the first movie where I hadn't read the book because I read the first four.
Me too.
Yeah. And then I was like, I'll wait for reviews, and I was eventually going to see it, but I was waiting for reviews, like, I got great reviews, and I was like, okay, I'll go see it. So I think I saw it on, like, a Sunday, and I was just, the opening shot, well, you haven't seen it yet, there's a, like, the opening
I've
scene.
I've heard a lot about it.
The opening scene is
great. I just
hear
it's like an
rest,
action movie.
Yeah.
I heard it, right?
Well, there's like an action scene, you know, with the main characters at the end of the film, and it's not, I didn't even think it was handled that well. It was really anticlimactic, and I don't know. I just didn't really enjoy it.
Well, it's the same director.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Yeah, but this trailer. Have you seen the trailer? It looks awesome. So
yeah,
I don't know.
But
it's a trailer.
There's one thing I can say about the Harry Potter trailers in general, is like, because I feel like I've grown up watching these movies. Yeah. You know, like whether I've watched them or not, I feel like I've grown up watching them and reading and everything. All of the trailers have been awesome, and then like that hook of a chorus they have, you know, doom, 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 and
slowly,
they have it really, really low, and it's like, you know, Warner Brothers comes up, and it's like it gets you every time. It's like a pain in the ass. You're like, but it's brilliant, you know, and like especially when you're in theaters and you see it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, you know, one of these days we'll go to a movie, that trailer will jump out and just kick us right in the balls, like all the other Harry Potter trailers have. But anyway, I'm going to go see it. When is it releasing? When did you say?
July 15th. So, what else is around that time? 2 weeks before is Public Enemies.
Oh, it's before? Cool.
I don't know. I forget. But yeah, there's actually a lot of... Oh, Bruno gets released around that time, the week before, I think. I
totally forgot about the movie. Hey, quick, can we actually have a quick moment about the Bruno trailer? I know it came out a while ago. Did you like it?
It was all right.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that funny.
Really? I thought it was funny.
I don't like, is that like a funny gay voice he was doing? It didn't seem funny to me. I don't know. Like, he's Austrian, I guess. Or...
Have you seen?
Yeah. No, I haven't really. But like,
it definitely doesn't look as good as Borat, but I think it will be as good. I think this trailer was just a little weak.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought. I love Borat as much as the next guy. I thought it was very funny. But it was kind of a disappointment. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
early buzz has been good.
Early buzz has been good.
Very good, yeah, very good. So
maybe we'll screen a can.
Maybe Dan.
Maybe it will.
No. All right. So, next bit of news. Actually, a couple hours ago. This happened last night, but Inglourious Basterds, the next Quentin Tarantino film, which is premiering at Cannes Film Festival. Hopefully, Dan will be able to check it out, and it hits theaters August 21st. It's his upcoming World War II. Epic, not really epic.
Dirty
Dozen-esque,
you know,
twisted.
Film, which he's been. Twisted, I mean, twist. I remember reading about this movie 10 years ago when Michael Madsen was supposed to be.
Yeah,
in it.
Yeah, I remember this has been going on.
Babe Buczynski and like that whole thing.
But yeah. So Quentin Tarantino, he was a guest judge, I guess, on American Idol. I didn't check it out, unfortunately, but I heard he did a completely unnecessary job. Yeah, I did not hear that. But yeah, no. The good side of him being on American Idol was that he got to debut some new footage of the film.
Is that a good side?
Yeah, it was cool. It was well. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
I mean, I like the whole behind the scenes stuff more than a trailer. I feel like.
Well, for those of you who
the big thing was they debuted what Mike Myers will look like.
Right. And he looks stupid.
Ed Finch or something.
And he looks. But I mean, I guess you know, I say that it's a crude way of saying, you know, I guess that's what this movie looks like it's going to be. And me and Jordan were talking about this actually. Walking back from class today, talking about the podcast. You know, this could be a really great movie. It could be really fun, but it's just one of those things for me. I just feel like Tarantino, I don't know, like, I don't need to see another, you know, Grindhouse-esque homage movie to some, some forlorn genre of cinema that doesn't really exist anymore because it's kind of worn out its welcome in time. You know, The Dirty Dozen's a great movie. Mm-hmm. The Great Escape's a great movie. Those movies, those late 60s, early 70s, World War II, Escape, Eight Men, Go Into the Breach, all that shit. Yeah. Really great, But, you know, this is a new time, and I just don't like that he's like paying homage. It's like, I feel like he could be more original than he's been.
Now, I haven't seen Dirty Dozen, but I've seen Great Escape. Are those films as like, this one definitely seems that has like that Tarantino twist of ultra violent and stuff.
Well, the thing about the Dirty Dozen is like, and for the time, you know, as I remember it, you know, you just had a dozen. Yeah. Really just, you know, tough sons of bitches, you know what I mean, that just kind of went on a suicide mission to kill, I believe, just to kill Germans. So it's a very similar plot line. It was very violent for its time. Great Escape wasn't really.
It was
very Hollywood, you know.
Yeah, I like that.
But Tarantino, I remember reading that he really loves The Great Escape.
Yeah.
He's like a big Steve McQueen fan and everything. So that was why I said that. But like, I'm just saying that instead of seeing him, you know, like for example, Jackie Brown was his way of paying homage to blaxploitation films. Okay. But at the same time, it was very original because you had characters in that movie that kind of went beyond any place they had in their blaxploitation films. Like the Bridget Fonda character. You know, remember
Bridget Fonda
from Jackie Brown? Like her character, or the Robert De Niro character. Like,
you're right. Know. With this film, I think, with Inglourious Basterds, I think we're going to like, we kind of like know what we're going to get a little bit. You know what I mean?
And that's what I don't like. Yeah. You know, because like, I remember when I watched Jackie Brown, I just watched the other movies, and I don't think that's an incredible movie, but I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah,
and
exactly,
halfway through the movie, I really still didn't even know really what to expect.
I hope this one has some surprises. I wonder.
You know, and I just don't like that. Why do you cast Mike Myers?
Yeah.
I mean, why do you, why do you cast Eli Roth?
Yeah.
Director of Hostel 2.
They're best friends, I guess. That's why.
Oh.
No.
But I mean, it seems like a gimmick to me. And I feel like Tarantino's better than a gimmick, is I guess my worry. But at the same time,
we'll see.
You know,
in terms of World War II films, like last year, you know, we had Spike Lee's World War II movie.
Right, which was a kind of a train wreck.
Yeah, and I'd much rather see, you know, if you said, oh, here's a Spike Lee World War II and a Quentin Tarantino, you know, I'd rather see a Quentin Tarantino.
If you had not seen either and someone put them next to each other?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I would have definitely gone Spike Lee.
Really?
Dude, definitely.
I guess right after seeing Death Proof, I might have picked the Spike Lee, but no, I'd rather see.
Well, Spike Lee's always been one of my favorite
directors.
I mean, you know, they're both great, but
we'll see.
You know,
maybe see
we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, check it out August 21st when it comes to theaters.
Yeah.
Okay. Next bit of news is Duncan Jones. Now, Duncan Jones,
son of David Bowie.
Yeah, son of David Bowie. Which I think he's trying to distance himself from. I think, I don't know. Do you know his original name is Zoe Bowie? That's like Duncan.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, but you know that David Bowie's original name was Davy Jones.
Well, that makes sense.
Feel free to comment on this podcast and tell me if I'm wrong. But I was talking to my dad, and he told me that the reason, David Bowie had to change his name to Davy Jones because of the Monkees. The lead singer of the Monkees was Davy Jones. And so he changed it to David Bowie. I'm just saying. You know, if my name was Zoe Bowie, I would change it too.
Yeah. So he has a movie coming out. It premiered at Sundance, and it's going to be at Tribeca Film Festival, and then it's going to get a release June 12th. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, and it's called Moon. It stars Sam Rockwell,
the man.
Yeah, the man. It's kind of a character piece with Sam Rockwell. I mean, I think he's one of the only characters in the film, if the only one.
No, I mean, there's other characters.
There are.
Yeah, I mean, he talks to his family and shit like that. You saw the trailer, right?
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah.
If you look on IMDb, there's like 12 cast members.
Yeah, I saw that, but I was wondering if those are just the voices and like.
But
who knows?
Yeah. That's a good
point. But as a bit of real news and then trailer news, the trailer debuted this week and it's awesome. It features a score of with Clint Mansell, who did The Fountain, and a song from Smoking Aces.
Yeah,
or a couple songs, but no.
No, he did the score.
Clint Mansell did
the score for Smoking Aces, and he did the score.
But that
for all
movie
of
had a lot of more soundtrack. It had a lot more, songs and score. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, so, yeah, it did. But I mean, you know, like, well, I guess towards the end,
it wasn't
it's
as
really
prominent as
it
found.
That's true. He didn't. Yeah, it wasn't entirely his.
But I don't.
He
think...
also did. Do you know? I don't know if you know this. This is kind of funny.
Yeah,
he did the score for Definitely Maybe, the Ryan Reynolds,
which was good
romantic comedy.
But I didn't really remember.
It's funny because like. Maybe they're friends. Maybe Ryan Reynolds and Clint Mansell are friends because Smoking Aces ends.
Smoking Aces, yeah.
Definitely, maybe. But anyway.
Yeah. So, I don't know how much we can talk about this because one of our writers saw it and he saw a press screening and he's loved it. And I think the review can't go up till June 12th when it gets released, but he gave it a 10 out of 10 and said it was one of the best sci-fi films of the decade.
He's seen it twice already.
He saw it at a press screening, and then he found out there was another press screening just 2 days after for like the people, I guess, that didn't get to see it. And he called and got into the next one. He said, you know, both times it's just great. Awesome. So I can't wait. And
it looks like, right, I mean, we from talking to him and then from just watching the trailer, it looks like, you know, maybe the love child of Solaris and 2001.
Yeah. With a little bit of Sunshine. I got a little Sunshine vibe.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Just
I guess
in terms of like the way it was filmed, not like.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it was filmed digitally.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So, in that respect, like, you have the Danny Boyle digital kind of thing going on.
And I guess he used a lot of miniatures and seamlessly, like, integrated them with CGI. He said, it looks
pretty
cool.
Yeah, and then that long interview he had with, I think, First Showing.
Yeah.
He talked about how they did the ping pong scene between the two Sam Rockwells and how they shot it and, like, It sounded really cool how they did that. Yeah, and like, because he was talking about how they, it was just different from what I've heard of other directors filming do it. Like, they would do the entire scene twice. Like, and I know that's like how people do it, but like, it was just kind of cool because, you know, just hearing about that. Yeah. And but like, with that ping pong ball, it was like digital rendering and stuff, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited to check it out. But, yeah, so definitely check out the trailer. I uploaded it to YouTube. It's on our site, thefilmstage.com. So check it out. The bit of news that this ties in with was Jones. He talked to Popular Mechanics, the magazine, and in an interview, and he said he wants to do another sci-fi film, which is weird because I listened to an interview with Danny Boyle, and he said he's never ever going to touch sci-fi after Sunshine.
Well, he said he can understand. Remember, he said he could understand why directors people only do one.
Yeah. So. Which is weird, but
he said that, but like a lot of directors do more than one. I mean, like Kubrick only did one, okay, but like, you know, Ridley Scott did two, at least Alien and Blade Runner, which Duncan Jones.
Wow, great tie-in, Dan.
Wants to be. Thank you. I'm always thinking.
One of his favorite films. Guess what it is.
Is it Blade Runner?
It is Blade Runner, yes. Ridley Scott's Blade Runner. And
wow.
He said he's always been really depressed that there was never, not a sequel, because I don't think, he said, because I don't think it's right to make a sequel about Blade Runner, but no one's really tried to make a film which was set in the same kind of world or that same kind of feel. And he said, that's what I'm doing. That's my next film. It's going to be a big city mystery story that takes place in future Berlin.
Awesome.
So, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I really have to watch Blade Runner again because the first time I watched it, I wasn't really blown away. So,
Well, I have to watch. What I have to do is I have to sit down and watch it in just
the theatrical cut from start to finish.
Because I've seen the theatrical cut, but like I've watched like 75% of the director's cut. I've toyed around with the final cut, but I've never the cuts and just like make
it. I will join you and I'll watch it.
Dude, seriously, we got to do it
right before Moon. We should do it right before Moon. Because,
well, but okay. But my question to you is, that's awesome. He wants to do this like Blade Runner spin-off, whatever, you know, prequel and whatever, which is really cool. From what I've seen from the trailer, I know nothing of Duncan Jones. He directed commercials for like the last 5-10 years, but he's good friends with Tony Scott. That's why about the interview he said Tony Scott told him to get into commercials, and like that's how you become a good director. He said, and I think that's why the whole, you know, you're saying he showed. Oh, tell the listeners what you said about the directors who saw the film.
Yeah. So he gave a copy to three of his favorite directors: Ridley Scott, Terry Gilliam, and Neil Gaiman. Well, he's not.
Neil Gaiman's a writer.
A writer, but yeah.
He wrote Coraline, Stardust.
Yeah, great writer. He said both Gilliam and Gaiman both watched it and loved it, and now he's just waiting on Ridley Scott, which makes him nervous if he's going to do his next, not next movie, but you know what I mean, his next.
Blade Runner, yeah. So, I mean, that just ties in everything, and he's friends with Tony Scott. He probably knows Ridley, so he probably really cares about what Ridley thinks. Obviously, if his next movie wants to be Blade Runner spinoff, which brings me back to what I was going to ask you before, Jordan.
Yes.
Aren't the people who wrote Eagle Eye writing?
I was just going to bring that up. That's so funny.
So
yeah.
So what is going on there? Then?
Maybe he'll take their script. I hope to God not.
Because
Well, I feel
the
like
people
okay,
from Eli are writing.
Nowadays in movies, there's there's so many movies that come out that are like similar to each other. I know this is bad, but you know what I mean. Like, there's Paul Blart, there's Observer Report. There's like these two like movies come in pairs. A lot of people say, like,
oh yeah, well,
and
yeah.
So like I feel like both those movies could coexist. And
Deep
one will
Impact,
be good.
Deep Impact,
yes,
Armageddon,
Deep Impact, Armageddon. Yeah,
you know, wider Tombstone. Yeah.
Mars Attacks, and wasn't there another?
Mars Attacks, Independence Day.
Yeah. So, like, the list goes on.
Even though they have nothing to do with one another, but...
Well, yeah.
Kind of. One cost $50 million, the other cost $175 million. Yeah. All right.
And one has a great
one lost $20 million, and one made a shitload.
Yeah, so... no, but I feel like these two movies could definitely be made even around the same time. I feel like... There's one that I'm looking forward to more, which would be Duncan Jones.
I personally feel like the way that Jones is going about it, and like I'm not trying to hate on the fact that these people wrote Eli, which is one of the most egregious screenplays to ever hit the silver screen. And I did use the word egregious.
Wow,
and I'm proud of myself for that, actually.
You shouldn't have
been. But now I feel pretentious.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, everybody. Anyway, I think the way that Jones is going about it is a lot better because, like he said, and I have seen Blade Runner, at least the theatrical version, it doesn't really lend itself to a sequel. You know what I mean? Well, however you take the ending, it's very finite. You know what I mean? Like, so a spin-off, that world has always fascinated me, as I'm sure it has many people. So the Jones idea, I think, is much better.
I mean, it's about time, right? It's not like they're trying to do
it's definitely about time. And I don't like the weird cult devotion that movie has. Because, like, listen, I've seen it, and you've seen it, and you weren't blown away by it. I think I liked it a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, calm
settle down.
You know what I mean? Like it is just a movie, and it did come out around 30 years ago, you know, just coming up on 30
years.
By the time the Jones movie comes out, it'll probably be 30 years. So, if a movie... is regarded as a brilliant piece of cinema, and part of that reason is because of the special effects it applies, then remake that shit with the new special effects. That's awesome. Yeah. Or don't remake it, but reimagine it with the new special effects. You know, like, case in point, Star Wars, you know, the remastered version they released in 97, like, that was a good thing because it's like Star Wars, half of the reason that was great is because of the special effects.
Yeah.
So just like, you know, don't, you know, Casablanca is one thing. You know, you can't really ever remake that because it's not about effects. It's just about brilliance,
and
godliness.
Yeah.
But Blade Runner, you know, maybe Harrison Ford will come back.
By the way, dude, in Rochester, Dryden Theater, they're doing a restored print of Casablanca, like a screening.
Really?
But I don't know when it is, but it's sometime in the next month.
Mm.
So if we make
it. Mm.
All right, so that... Wrap it up for Moon. Yeah,
I'll wrap it up. Can't wait to see it.
Cannot wait to see it.
Cannot wait. That is right up there for me with Terminator Salvation for my most anticipated
movies
of the summer.
That is really sad, Dan.
I'm all about the future.
Dan, have you heard of movies called like 500 Days of Summer?
Ooh, touche.
And Brothers Bloom.
Actually, last night was the first night I started. I listened to The Smiths. I'd never listened to The Smiths before.
I listened to The Queen Is Dead one time, and that's it. And I never went back to it, so maybe it was a good
one. Good, it's fun, you know?
Yeah.
It's fun.
Actually,
any Smiths fans would probably fucking punch me, but like, but it's nice. I like it. It's
so hip, right?
It's hip. Like, you know? It's so hip, is what it is. It's just how hip and cool it is.
So.
Now that an indie put it in its
exactly.
in its movie.
That's all it takes.
God.
All right, so next trailer we're going to talk about is Mike Judge's next film, Extract. This is after he did Idiocracy, which you liked it a little more than I did, right?
I did. I thought it was underrated.
I liked the first half. The second half.
The ending's rough. Definitely, which you didn't like.
But there are
like.
A lot of cool ideas. I mean, he gave a lot
of
effort.
Part of the reason I think I also like, I like Luke Wilson. I think he's kind of got a funny thing.
Yeah.
And it's
did
awkward,
you like,
funny
did
thing.
You see Henry Poole's here?
I did see Henry Poole's here. That was rough.
Okay.
I wanted it to be so much better than it was, and I just spent the whole movie being like, well, okay. And then at the end, I was like, yeah, fuck that movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just like hate to say that, but
I had
some really good points.
I just watched Royal Tenenbaums again, and good stuff.
That movie holds up.
Yeah.
That movie holds up. And let me just say, because me and Jordan have disagreed on this movie, and I did watch, not all of it, but some of it, over winter break, but I'll put this on the film stage record. I saw the Darjeeling Limited like part of it at least again, and it is better than I gave it credit for. I'll say that it is no Road to Bombs, it's no Bottle Rocket, but it's a shitload better than Life Aquatic.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I didn't like
it. I like it, but
I have not seen Rushmore. I got to do that.
Rushmore's great.
I got to see it.
I guess the Fantastic Mr. Fox's next film is pretty good. There's been a screening. A couple screenings.
I'm intrigued.
But it doesn't come out till the fall. So
I like how all these directors are kind of moving out of their zone.
Yeah.
You know, that's really kind of cool. You know, whether they're failing or not, it's cool that they're trying.
A similar director, actually. The guy that did Margaret at the Wedding, Noah Baumbach.
Noah Baumbach, yeah.
I didn't post this on the film stage, but he just started shooting his new movie with Ben Stiller. So we'll see. I mean, he used Jack Black though, and Margaret at the Wedding, and I love that. So
yeah,
he was great. I know you didn't like him, but
he did you know anything that it's about?
I could figure it out, but I could find it. But
well, Ben Stiller's not bad. I mean, he's played Dark before.
Yeah,
he's pretty good. So if it is like a Baumbach movie, I would love to see it. But
I actually recently, have you seen Kicking and Screaming? His first movie?
No, I haven't.
I watched it. You would like it.
I gotta see it.
It's on Netflix. Watching recently, everyone.
Not to be confused with the Will Ferrell. Yeah. Kicking and screaming.
Yeah, but okay, let's get back to Mike Judge.
Bring it back.
Bring it back. We always have to bring it back.
Bring it all back.
So yeah, this new film is stars Jason Bateman, Ben Affleck, Mila Kunis, J.K. Simmons, and Kristen Wiig. Pretty all star cast.
I believe it's Wiig.
Wiig. It is Wiig. Okay.
I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
I love this trailer.
Yeah. Me too.
I loved it. I thought it was very good. I mean, it looks like Office Space with Jason Bateman, and I have no problem with that. Office Space is awesome.
Ben Affleck, he was
Ben
funny.
Affleck. Ben Affleck. Listen, you know, I love what he's doing with his career. You know, I just recently listened to the Creative Screening podcast and talking about Gone Baby Gone. I love that he did that movie. I love that he's working on another Lehane story, which I believe is what he's doing. Or it's another Boston book, at least.
It's not. I don't think it's Lehane.
It's not Lehane, but it's another Boston-based thing. I love that he's trying to adapt that, because I love Gone Baby
Gone.
He's
good at it. Huh?
And I love that he's not taking lead roles.
Yeah.
You know, he was in Smokin' Aces, which, whatever, but like he was in it. He had a funny little part. Was he?
He's just not that into you.
He had the little part, and he's just not that into you, which I thought he was one of the better parts of the movie. I know you didn't think that, but
that movie is...
You didn't like the movie. I liked the movie a lot more, but...
What did I do? I just... my rating. The film log. I keep a film log on the film stage of all the movies I've seen.
Yeah.
And I updated that with like a review. And I was just thinking about that movie again, and I like totally forgot about that.
Enjoyed it. You know what I mean? There's a movie I enjoyed. I know that... You know, it was definitely like 15 minutes too long, but he's in State of Play. He's in State of Play, which I still can't wait to see.
As
the senator, the whole thing's focused around, or not the senator, the young politician, this whole thing is centered around, which serious role, and then you have him in Extract playing like the wingman bartender.
Unfortunately, Extract is not coming out till September, but yeah. You're looking forward to State of Play?
I cannot wait to see the movie. But like I was saying, I love the State of Play trailer and I love the Extract trailer. Obviously I'm a huge Arrested Development fan, and it looks like Jason Bateman's doing kind of an offshoot of that kind of a character, which is awesome. Kristen Wiig, I don't think has ever been unfunny when she has a cameo in like a feature film.
Yeah.
Great
in Adventureland.
Yeah, exactly. Great in Adventureland.
I watch SNL, though. She wasn't...
SNL is hit or miss. She has a couple of characters that just don't kind of resonate, I don't think. Yeah. What was it?
Did you see the one with the TV reviews? Did you see that?
She had a new character. Who is that that people don't like? It was, I can't remember
Chrissy
the name.
Or something.
It was like that. And like, it was like they're trying to like start a character, you know what I mean? Like a character that people will like associate with her.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think it's really going to work, but maybe, yeah. I don't know. But
Jason Bateman, he's actually in, speaking of...
He's in State of Play.
Yeah, he's in
State of Play. Jason Bateman's in State of Play. I forgot about
that. Which I totally forgot, but also this Sunday...
He's not even in the trailer.
No, which is weird. But this Sunday.
I'm going to say something really quickly. I watched an interview with Ben Affleck about State of Play on Coming Soon.
Yeah.
Don't watch it because he gives away like four key plot points. I was late last night. I was watching it. I was like, oh, this will keep me up. State of Play. And fucking Ben Affleck gives away.
Ben
Affleck. I swear to God. And I was like, what is this guy doing? The movie hasn't even come out yet. I was like super pissed. So just be careful, people who like coming soon. I'm not saying don't go. Yeah. Just be wary of the Ben Affleck spoiler.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of Arrested Development.
Keep speaking about it. Love it.
The creator of Arrested Development.
Mitch Hedberg.
Hurwitz, but yes.
Hurwitz. Mitch Hedberg was a great comedian.
Yes. His new show premieres April 19th, this Sunday. So it's called Sit Down, Stand Up. It's a... Sit Down, Shut Up, sorry. It's an animated show, which I wish he would have just done something else. But it's an animated show on Fox. A lot of stars in it. Will Forte, Sherry O'Terry, Kenan Thompson, Henry Winkler, Will Arnett, Jason Bateman. So some of the Arrested Development cast. And, the reviews haven't been great, but I'm interested to check it out just to see. So, Yeah, but yeah, that is this Sunday. But
good to know.
Yeah, so Extract Trailer looks funny.
Yeah, no, I mean, it just looks like kind of an Office Space update in a lot of ways, which is cool. Yeah. Cool by me.
Yeah, so check it out in September. All right, the next trailer just came out right before we did this podcast. It is Catherine Bigelow's The Hurt Locker.
Oh, yes.
Yes, this film is about the Iraq War, and it stars Guy Pearce, Ralph Fiennes. Yeah, Jeremy Renner and Anthony Mackie. Now, Dan and I were fortunate enough to check out this film a couple of months ago, and I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, between that movie, The Hurt Locker, which I'll consider a 2009 movie because it's getting released this year, and Duplicity, I mean, those are my two best movies. Yeah.
Adventureland and Observer Reporter.
Right, but
The Hurt Locker
for me, I think is above everything, actually. Yeah, me too. Just because, because we've been waiting for this kind of a war movie.
Exactly.
You know,
we had to sit through like Rendition. In the Valley of Ayla.
There's been a lot of schmaltz.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, like in the Valley of Ayla had moments, but it was just.
The Kingdom was good, but it wasn't. It was
the Kingdom was an action movie, which was a fine action movie. And this
movie does action so much better, you know.
Oh, The Hurt Locker. Yeah. Well, I mean, because it's tense.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
It's all about the tone of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, and it's. You know, it's not just about set pieces and car chases, which are fine, but I mean, you know, and shaky cam, you know, I mean, and the reason I say that is because this movie is filmed with, like, that shaky cam style, but, like, not like Peter Berg, like, where it's, like, the
not
camera
frantic.
Always has to be shaking. It's, like, you know, it's just, like, if you're watching a soldier's account.
Exactly.
But he's a completely ominous, you know, soldier. Yeah. And Jeremy Renner is just...
I was going to say that the performance in this
film... Intensely good. You know, like, I've always wondered if he was a good actor because he's been around for, like... He's been, like, kicking around for, like, 7 years. He was, like, in SWAT. He was like, in that for a minute. And he was in, like, 28 Weeks Later.
Yeah.
And he always plays soldiers. And he's got, like, kind of a weird, intense charm to him.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he's always playing, like, kind of cardboard characters. This movie will quell any worries that he's not a good actor. Anthony Mackie, always good.
Guy
Pearce.
A
lot of cameos by great actors.
I would check it out. It hits theaters limited release June 26th.
I mean, if this doesn't get some sort of recognition,
I really hope it does.
You know, In Contention has Catherine Bigelow as one of their predictions for best director, which
I don't personally think that's gonna happen.
See it's gonna happen. It's almost like this movie's almost too good for the Academy. But then again, Deer Hunter did get a lot of nominations.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget, you know. So there's been great war. I mean, there's
I just
been
feel like
great
there's good, there's five other better movies that are like, you know what I mean? Like, there's it'll get forgotten a little bit, I think. You know?
No, maybe. But I mean,
I hope it gets. I hope it at least makes some money.
The reason I think it might not get forgotten is because I feel like in a way there's people want a movie that they can point to in 10 years when people ask them. I mean, I know that sounds really shallow, but it's true. People want a movie that maybe they can point to in 10 years when people talk about this the war.
Yeah, when we watch movies about other war, that's how I get most of my...
I mean, like, it's sad when I think the best war movie, you know, aside from the best war movie about a war that's about, like, either of the Gulf War or the Iraq War.
Wind Talkers.
yes, exactly. No, it's sad that, like, when I think the best movie about any of the modern wars going on right now is Three Kings.
Oh, yes. I would have to
agree. You know, David O. Russell's Three Kings, which is, I think, one of the best movies I've ever seen. But it came out in, like, 98.
Yeah.
So it's like, really? Like, yeah. It's been 11 years? I mean, can we get another good movie, please, about war? You know, like, about, you know, this, our wartime? You know,
I mean, we got it. We saw it.
And then we got it. And we got it. Exactly. We got it with the Hurt Locker.
Yeah, check it out.
So, and the trailer does not do the movie wrong at all.
No, you know, it's a great trailer.
It's a good trailer.
Yeah. So, that wraps up our trailer and news talk. So, let's move into a couple movies we've seen recently.
Let's do it.
Before you talk about yours.
Okay.
I had to sit through 10 minutes of The Wedding Date.
Oof. I've seen it.
And that was the second time I've seen it, folks.
I've seen it.
And that movie is the most pointless, useless film I've ever seen.
I actually, yeah, well, do you want to, okay. I was dating a girl who... Great girl. I have nothing against her. You know, not seeing her now, but great girl. She, it was one of these things where we'd been dating for a while. She loved the movie. And she was talking about it. She like loved The Wedding Date. It was strange.
And
I was like, okay, like whatever. You know, like, you know, I make her sit through enough shit. Like, let's, yeah. Let's see. Deborah Messing's funny. I like Will and Grace, you know. And like we put it on. And like... It was so bad that, like, I think we ended up getting in a fight or something. Like, I don't know, not in a fight, but, like, it was one of those things where, like, I was flabbergasted that, like, she could have liked it. Like, I know that sounds really, like, uppity, but, like, I just was, like, so taken aback by, like, how horrible it was. Yeah, I don't even know.
It's just speaking of girlfriends and movies, because, we, you know, we talk about chick flicks on the show sometimes, but we have a little game where, you know, my girlfriend, she'll... bring up movies to watch, and it's a Rotten Tomatoes game. She'll throw out a percent, and I'll search, because I have these movies, I don't know if they were like critically received that well. Like,
You're talking about like rom-coms?
Yeah, rom-coms. Okay. Like, in like past ones.
Love rom-coms, love them.
And so she'll throw out a percentage, and if it's higher or lower than that percentage, we'll watch it.
If it's higher or lower.
Well, no, like if it's higher, we'll watch it. If it's lower.
Oh, if it's like higher than her guess.
Yeah. Okay. And then I'll throw out a guess. And, you know, if we'll come to a
I got it. I come to a compromise.
So, you know.
Like anybody does in a good relationship.
So for a movie like, what was it? Devil Wears Prada. I was like, I'm going to, because I heard this guy good. So I'm going to say 60%. And so it was higher than that. I think it was like 70
75,
something.
Yeah.
And so for this film, Wedding Date. I was like, I gave it, I think, a 25%. I was like, if this is higher than 25%, I'll check it out. It's at 10%. So, 10. So I stood upstairs and I watched something else and came down for like 10 minutes of Wedding Date, because she was watching with my family. But anyways, I had to sit to the end and it's not.
It's one of these movies where like wherever this movie's taking place is not the world that we exist in.
Yeah,
it's like some composite world where like. It's so extremely narcissistic to the characters that, like, the story's focused on. Yeah. It's, like, it makes you want to throw up.
Yeah. It's funny. Dana Fox, the lady that wrote Wedding Date, also wrote What Happens in Vegas.
Really?
Yeah, those movies are different.
It's kind of strange.
But, yeah.
But, I mean, I think What Happens in Vegas, the reason that movie was enjoyable was strictly because of the acting. I mean, like...
Yeah.
I mean, like, no other explanation. You know,
Rob
like,
Corddry was funny, right?
You know, I mean, just the supporting cast was good. Ashton Kutcher's got a lot of charm. Cameron Diaz, okay. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she's got whatever. So,
yeah. So, all right, enough of The Wedding Date.
Yeah, enough.
All
right, so, please, enough.
Dan, let's...
Yeah, let me... Okay, a movie that I caught up on that I've been meaning to see for literally about a year now is called Heaven. It's, is directed by Tom Twicker?
Tykwer.
He directed The International most recently, which was a huge disappointment for me. He is most famous still for directing Run Lola Run, I'm sorry, which is an incredible film. 80 minutes just kind of... It's literally like watching an adrenaline rush. And then... He has also directed
Perfume,
The Story of Murder, I Never Saw,
great.
Which is a really, big hit overseas, huge bomb here. And he also directed a short called True, which starred Natalie Portman as a woman who breaks up with her blind boyfriend. And it's like about the boyfriend's the boyfriend's reaction to it, and like, and all, but also his, in a way, it could also be his premonition of it and stuff. It's really, it's one of the best shorts I've seen.
Really, yeah. It's one of the only short I've seen by him was in Paris Daytime.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Oh,
that's the true? One. Yeah, True is the one in Paris Daytime. Sure? Yeah, I'm positive.
Because it says, according to IMDb, it says True was filmed in 2004.
Yeah.
And then, but Paris Daytime.
Yeah, that's the one that's in Paris Daytime.
Because in Paris Daytime, he said he directed a movie called Faubourg Saint Denis. A different one, not True, so.
I'm pretty sure because, I don't know, maybe.
But I don't know.
Hmm. Well, anyway.
Yeah, Natalie Portman is not the one he did in.
What'd you say?
I don't think. I think it's a different, two different shorts.
Well, the one that, well, whatever one that Natalie Portman was the one that was in Paris Daytime.
Oh, what? I don't know then.
Okay, but anyway.
Anyways.
That short that I just described, was incredible. Heaven, is a great movie. It's beautiful. It was written.
Right. It is the one. It was weird that they only filmed it 2 years earlier than it was included.
Yeah.
But anyways, go ahead.
It was written by Kieslowski.
Yeah.
What's his first name?
Krzysztof
Kieslowski, who we actually talked about a couple weeks ago. His film Blue,
part of
his Colors trilogy. Yep. He passed away in 97. But yeah, I guess he wrote this film before because he Heaven, Hell, and
Purgatory
trilogy, and I think this is the first one, yeah. And I think it's kind of like the Blue trilogy where they're pretty much not interconnected in terms of characters, but I guess in terms of just themes and motifs they're connected. Yeah. This movie stars Cate Blanchett and Giovanni Ribisi. It's in English and Italian. It takes place in Italy. And it's just the thing about this film is it's incredibly beautiful. Everything about this film is beautiful. It's a very patient film. It has nice. The camera's always moving, but it's moving slowly. It's very fluid. And the story is it's very simple. A woman commits an act of terrorism. And it goes awry. She kills.
It's intense. That opening scene is crazy. I've seen about half of this film. I've been watching it. But
She kills. She kills four innocent people, and then she has to answer for it. She's getting interrogated by the police, it's called the Caballeri. And Giovanni Ribisi is one of them. He ends up becoming the translator, and he falls in love with her. And then that's, other than that's pretty much what happens from there on is the byproduct of his falling in love with her while she's being tried and interrogated for her crime, which she openly admits to.
Yep.
So it's an unrealistic story just because there's a lot of things that happen in it where you're like, wow, like, I don't know that this could actually ever really happen. But it's one of those things where I have no problem buying it because it's so beautiful to look at and the score is so beautiful and it's just worth every minute. Giovanni Ribisi, I think, is a fantastic actor. I love him in the lead role. I think he does the Italian thing because he's not native Italian, he's an American actor. He does it well. If you didn't know who he was, you would imagine that he probably could be Italian.
He's in Public Enemies and Avatar.
He's a character actor. You know what I mean? Like he's always in stuff, good and bad. But it was nice to see him kind of in a romantic lead. Tom Twicker. He has a visual eye that is very original. I think. The International was kind of a bastardization of that eye. I think that a lot of things went wrong with that movie that he couldn't have helped. It seemed like, I think that it was just kind of one of those things you have to say, hey, E for effort and let's move on. But this movie, I would recommend it. Definitely see it. I think anyone could watch it. Anyone can enjoy it. It's not even that long. It's like 95 minutes.
Yeah.
It's simple. There's a lot of easy symbolism. I now want to see the other two movies in this trilogy.
One got, I think only one's been made so far. Are you talking about Krzysztof?
No, another one.
Heaven, Hell, and Purgatory.
But. Yeah, I think the Hell one got made.
Yeah, it's like a German film or something.
Yeah, like other people made it, but like they're all co-written by Kieslowski.
Yeah.
So I guess they must have been screenplays that were just kind of waiting to get adapted, and after he died, they just posthumously. Yeah. But yeah, and the one thing I'm just gonna say, the last thing I'll say about this movie is the crane shots in this thing are outstanding. The last 15 minutes of this film is some of the most beautiful film footage I've ever seen, and you know, call it landscape porn or whatever you want to call it, you know, in terms of like it making me love it. But he got away with it, and I definitely recommend it. You know, yeah, not a masterpiece,
definitely has a great eye
incredible.
For framing and like
everything. Yeah, you know, just simple, really yeah. super simple, and you know, it's funny that like he did Run the Little Run, which is like kind of all over the place.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
this movie, but
more relaxed. Yeah.
Definitely. So I definitely go see it. Rent it if you can.
Check it out.
All right, what about you, Jordan? Yeah. What do you got?
So this weekend, Crank High Voltage comes out.
Yes, it does.
Dude, no press screenings and no midnight screenings. What is up
Why
with
do you
that?
Not just upsell that movie?
Just do it.
Give
do
it to the Academy
it
now.
The full, yeah.
That's what I say.
Yeah. So some people hate Crank.
Those people are stupid.
One of our good friends hates Crank today. I figured that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, his
that
name's Connor O'Donnell.
Yeah, and hopefully him on listens Facebook to this. And kill him.
Hopefully he listens to this Film Stage podcast and he realizes what a scum he is for not liking Crank. Well, no, you're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah. And I can totally say that someone.
Yeah.
But I mean, just
oh, like a
fun.
Dumb person could hate it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, so Crank is a 2006 film starring The Staith.
The Staith, did you just do that?
Yeah, Jason Statham.
Statham.
Yeah, this you know, ultra action, hyper action. I would classify
ultra,
it as
ultra action.
Ultra hyper action. No, this film, Chev Chelios is the character played by Statham, and he is an assassin and gets injected with this poison that makes his heart race.
This is Crank 1.
Crank 1, yes. Which is the film I will be talking about, which I did recently rewatch after seeing
great decision
so he gets injected with a poison that will kill him if his heart rate drops, so kind of like Speed in the body, the movie Speed taking
sans,
place in the body
sans Keanu Reeves,
yeah, which is a good choice always.
All right, let's not hate okay. Reeves. Okay. Let's not hate
Keanu. Yeah, so this is directed by Mark Neville Dine and Brian Taylor, and this film
or as they like to be called, Neville Dine / Taylor.
Yeah, Neville Dine. Directed by Neville Dine / Taylor, which you will see in the credits of the film.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, this film also co-stars Amy Smart and that guy from Napoleon Dynamite, which doesn't matter. But
oh, yeah, Pedro.
Yeah, Pedro. So
and Dwight Yoakam.
Yes. This film, you know, it's enjoyable, very enjoyable. Never slows down, just like Statham. No,
just like Statham.
No, it has a lot of interesting stuff in it. I mean, it's, you know, it's nothing groundbreaking, I would say.
No, it's just a fucking just crazy, a,
yeah, fucking crazy,
fucking
awesome
movie.
Over the top, everything's over the top. It's just, mm-hmm. I mean,
the definition of a guilty pleasure movie.
Yeah, exactly.
He has sex with his girlfriend in
well,
the middle
spoilers,
of Chinatown.
Dude. No, I'm just kidding.
What?
Yeah. Spoilers.
Spoilers. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler
alert. For Crank.
For Crank. No, Crank High, you know, let's talk a little bit about High Voltage anticipation, you know.
Yeah, dude.
Because, if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably seen Crank, hopefully. I feel like it's a big, pretty big cult following.
Yeah, definitely.
But check it out.
But if you've been following our website, you've seen the footage we put up of,
Filming
the B-roll
has
been taken for.
Clatter.com got, a bunch of B-rolls from Crank High Voltage together, and, they show kind of like these because it was previously known that Crank High Voltage is filmed all on consumer cameras you could pick up at Best Buy, anyone could pick them up, and that using those kind of cameras gives these directors a chance to place these cameras in, you know, where other directors couldn't, and you can definitely see this if you watch this video,
just like the first movie.
They throw a camera on a remote control car, and a little Tyco remote control car. And then they, you know, set it up to go and just kind of see what happens. And, you know, I'm excited to see in Crank High Voltage how
I'm excited to see how much B-roll's in it. You know, like how much they use. I mean, because like
I was actually looking when I was watching Crank, because I had this video in mind. I was like looking, you know, how would they do this shot? How would they do this shot? Because there's a lot of camera movement, and the camera rarely stays still. And they get the camera in places that other films don't.
When they were filming, for the Collider video, the B-roll for High Voltage, it was like. You had the guy in roller skates, and he had the camera like 6 inches or like a foot away from the ground. So like that'll be cool to watch.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you know, cameras usually aren't that close to the ground. You know, stuff like that. Yeah. Like just weird angles and stuff like that. Yeah. That'll be cool to see. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either. So I mean, I just hope it just builds upon Crank and kind of.
I'm gonna have to wait until Sunday.
I know.
I don't want to talk about it.
Don't talk about it. Dan, so going away for the weekend. You know, this is a film where. I can't miss with you because we've been talking about it forever. So, Sunday night, we'll have to see.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. Yes. So, yes, we will.
That's enough for Crank. Let's move on.
Let's move right along.
See you this Friday, though, because I hope, you know.
Maybe it'll make this movie a lot of money.
Maybe it'll beat 17 again.
Or maybe it won't.
No, it won't, I don't think.
But no, I don't think it will at all, definitely.
So the next film I watched was Fast and Furious, the fourth film.
It's Four Fast, Four Furious.
Four Fast, Four Furious. I'm sorry, Dan. Yes, this film, directed by Justin Lin. It came out, 2 weeks ago? Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Made a boatload of money, so I was like, why not check it out? And that was a bad decision. This movie is not good at all, really. At all. Not good. The opening scene, decent. Not even decent. It's there, and it's all right.
It's just so recycled.
Yes, exactly. Every line. I mean, there are all those Vin Diesel lines.
The D's.
That make you crack up. So I guess if you want to see that, do it. But
yeah, but it's I would not recommend. But it's not even like yeah, but it's not one of those movies. Where you know, because like, I only watched the first half. I had a lot of time. But it's not even from what I saw. One of those movies that it's like, oh, like go see how bad it is. And
yeah,
laugh.
No, it's not. Yeah, because there's part they play it too seriously. That
and way not, too close to the chest. Yeah, it's like oh my god.
And
it's
Paul Walker,
it's a fourth Fast and the Furious.
Dude, Paul Walker is so terrible in this movie.
Dude, he's a blank slate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, it just.
So
you know, actually, one thing I was looking. Don't ask me why, but I was looking at Paul Walker's IMDb and just kind of like what he had coming up and everything. Do you know that he's like late 30s, I think, or he's like how old is he? Do you know?
Yeah, he is 36.
Okay, he's 36 years old. Paul Walker's 36 years old. He, I don't think, will ever look older than 24. You know, he's you know how people talk about like the de-aging in Hollywood? He's the perfect, literally, the perfect example of that. You know, they're talking about how there's no more leading men in Hollywood, you know, or there's no more future leading men because all the men are like their man children.
Yeah.
You know, like because all these movies now are geared to younger audiences. So you have like 25-year-olds playing these roles. You know, they're playing like an 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And so like that makes them, you know, or, you know, look younger for a lot longer period of time. Paul Walker's a perfect example of that. I mean, he'll never get out of that like post-pubescent but not quite a man Brian O'Connor Fast and Furious thing because that's what he's been slated to play for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
You know, just like, you know, so many actors, you know Chris Klein, Josh Hartnett. Yeah. You know, I mean, Josh Hartnett has been trying for the last 3 years to get away from that and, you know, failing admirably, but failing nonetheless.
He's been trying very hard.
Trying
harder than Paul Walker.
Oh, my God, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, you know, Chris, you remember that Chris Klein? They tried to make him a star with Rollerball. Do you remember that?
Yes.
What an epic fail that was.
Epic fail.
Epic fail. And now he's the third lead in Street Fighter.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying, I mean, these are man children who just now they're trying to grow facial hair because there's no more parts for them.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen because in that whole hailstorm of trying to look young, they never learned how to act.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a sad sight to see.
So, but what else about the movie didn't you like?
No, there's
How was the D's? How was the D's? Because I didn't see all of it.
The D's, the thing about watching Vin Diesel is like, he is a decent actor, a decent action actor, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just sad that he has to, you know, make these movies like
Babylon AD.
And I just wish that he, he has had some good roles. I'm trying to think. I never saw Find Me Guilty, but I heard he was good.
Great. He was, well, not great. He wasn't great. I mean, he was good. Very good in it.
Yeah, Yeah, that's about it. No, I'm just kidding. I never saw The Pacifier, obviously. I enjoyed Riddick, but I went at my age when I played it.
He was good in Riddick. Yeah. I mean, he was good in Pitch Black, as the same character.
Yeah. But Boiler Room, that was 9 years ago, but...
He was in Saving Private Ryan, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
It's like...
Even longer. Yeah, that was 11 years ago now. So, I don't know. I just hope we can,
Well, hang on. We're forgetting about... Whoa, wait.
Triple.
No. Don't.
Pitch Black.
No. Dude.
Knock Around Guys. A Man Apart.
I actually really like Knock Around Guys. It's a huge guilty pleasure movie for me, but let's not talk about that. Yeah, I really got to see that movie again. I love that movie. Yeah, it's horrible, but we're forgetting about The Pacifier.
I mentioned that a little bit. I never saw it.
Okay, well, we didn't spend an hour talking about the brilliance behind it.
Yeah.
And how there's a really... Ingmar Bergman.
Yeah,
there's a lot of symbolism in there. It's just glorious. It's
such a deep movie, and I encourage everyone to check out The Pacifier.
What about the women? What about the women in it?
Fast and Furious. Jordana Brewster, nothing special.
Oh.
As was Michelle Rodriguez, and
I feel like Michelle Rodriguez is the woman version of Vin Diesel.
Exactly.
Isn't that exactly what she is to you?
Together.
I swear to God. Yeah, they should be together in real life. Yeah. I'd be like... They would just D's each other like crazy.
Yeah, this film, I mean, for a film like this, it should have, crazy,
it should be like Crank.
Yeah, it should be, I don't know if it should be like...
Well, you know what I mean, yeah.
The car chases should be, good, memorable, but they weren't. Like, there was a scene towards the end, there's a cave race, and...
Go on.
I mean, it sounds good, I bet, on the script, but when they went to film it, I wonder what they thought, because it's just boring. It's just, you're in a cave and
here's the thing, and this is another kind of a thing that fascinates me, because I'm not a big car guy. I know you're not like a huge car guy.
Maybe that's why, because I know a lot of people enjoy
this franchise is so lucrative.
Yeah,
all of its movies have made money. All of them, even the third one, which had literally no one in it, had Lucas Black, not really anyone in it, made some money. Bow Wow.
Yeah.
Is it the cars or something that it is?
The cars, the whole style, I guess, but I don't know.
Is it that testosterone fused? I guess because it's not really my thing. Maybe
I read this thing where, Fast and Furious has a certain group of people that will see it, just like Twilight. Like, it's just like that whole subsection of
It's just a subsect of just people who just. Yeah. But
because no one I talked to.
But Twilight makes more sense, because it's those are the people who read the fantasy novels.
I mean, maybe this is a Twilight for men, I don't know.
I guess so. Yeah. I guess it's just, it made $72.5 million its opening weekend. I was flabbergasted.
Yeah, me too.
And it just it's going to make 170 or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's the fifth one's coming out. Forget about it.
In Brazil, I guess. It's set in Brazil, so...
It'll probably become one of the most lucrative franchises in movie history.
Definitely. If they keep on keeping on, hopefully they don't. Yeah. Okay, so let's... Enough of Fast Furious. Don't go see it. Don't give it any more money, please.
Yeah, please. It just makes me sad.
Please.
It just makes me curious, really. Not sad, just kind of fascinated, but...
All right, so let's move on to our feature film review.
Let's do it! Yes. All right.
This is...
17 Again.
17 Again. It is directed by Burr Steers, who did Igby Goes Down, which was a great
underrated catching the rye indie.
Yes. So since Igby Goes Down, though, he hasn't really done much. He directed a couple episodes, The L Word, Weeds, Big Love.
Good shows.
Yeah, but this is his return. Now Dan, before we get this, well, first, this movie stars Zac Efron. It's about Chandler, Matthew Perry.
Right.
He plays...
Chandler.
Yeah, Chandler. He, he was this great high school basketball star. He had his glory days in high school.
Right.
Now, flash forward 20 years, married, not having a great time. Magically, he gets returned back to his days as a child.
He becomes 17 again.
Zac Efron. So, before we get into this film,
Let's talk about our expectations for the film.
Well, actually, before we do that, let's just quickly. How did Zac Efron let him go, let himself go so much in 20 years that he ended up looking like Matthew Perry?
I know, that's what I was wondering. I was like, they don't look alike.
But anyway, okay. Anyways, let's just let that go. Film, we'll let you think about that.
Last week, we're like, okay, we're going to need a film review, you know? I mean,
well, like you said, there's no Crank High Voltage screenings.
Yeah, no Crank High Voltage screenings. And then we were thinking about maybe postponing the podcast a week and maybe doing, you know, a couple days, wait till we see Crank High Voltage, but Dan's away for the weekend. We can't do that. And then State of Play didn't have, it had a screening, but we couldn't attend around here. Yeah. And so we were left with 17 again. And so going to this film, I don't know if I've had, okay, well, first, I did a write-up. 10 films to see in April, 5 to avoid. This one was on it. Mm-hmm. I saw the trailer. I didn't like it. It just seemed really repetitive, generic, which from the plot line, it looks.
Well, it is. I mean, it's very generic. Yeah. I mean, that's like a great word to describe it. Yeah. It's not, I mean.
Yeah. And so as it got closer, I saw Dan tweeted about the Rotten Tomatoes score, 91%. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it had 11 reviews.
Yeah, with only, yeah, so. Crazy. And then I was searching on Twitter.
It has steadily dropped, but yeah, you know, yeah. But I mean, still,
it came out in UK a couple days before the US, and I was looking at Twitter, just some reactions, and everyone seemed to love it. So you know, it piqued my interest a little, just to see, you know, what was in this film that made it so great. And yeah, so we went to see the film amidst about 200 Girl Scouts, I would say.
Oh my God, dude!
Yeah, there was, it must have been a special.
And then add 200 moms.
Oh, and it's horrible.
I think the moms are a lot worse.
Bitchy moms, too.
Bitchy.
Because
you know what? These are like, they don't go to the movies that much. Yeah. So like when they go, it's like a huge extravaganza. It's like
they own the place kind of thing.
And like there were these there were these rows that were designated, reserved rather, sorry, for the Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
Now listen, I love a Girl Scout when I'm buying a cookie from her. But.
Is that the only time, Dan?
That's gross.
I know.
But no, it's not. And I love a Girl Scout when I'm buying a cookie from her. But when I'm trying to get my Zac Efron fix,
yeah,
and there's some fucking 10-year-old girl standing in the way of that, or rather sitting in the way of that, preventing me from standing next or sitting next to my compadre and fellow film stager, Jordan Raup.
Or you?
Bitch, we got a problem.
Yeah.
And that was what it was like for 20 minutes.
But we got our seats.
Long story short, we got
we
our
saw
sheets.
The great trailer before.
Ghost. Yeah,
hit me up with the trailer before we talk about the movie. What trailer?
It. Ghost of Girlfriends Past. Ghost of Girlfriends Past. Starring. Who else would it star?
Wait, Dan. Is it the springtime? And
wait, yes, it is the springtime.
Okay, it's springtime.
It's springtime.
Do you think there's going to be a romantic comedy coming out?
Well, there should be, because this seems like a time when women would go out to do something social and see a romantic comedy.
Dan, out of all the stars in Hollywood and all around the world, who do you think could possibly play a role as such in such a movie?
Could it be Marlon Brando? No, he's dead. My hand's raised.
Dan, answer.
Matthew McConaughey?
Ding, ding, ding. You got it.
I go to the movies, clearly. Yeah. Because that was what the trailer was. Ghost of Girlfriends Past, starring Matthew McConaughey and Jennifer Garner.
Yep.
Jennifer Garner, what are you doing?
Oh,
you were in Juno. Did you not forget that when you were in Juno and you were good? You were good in Juno. Anyway, this movie looks... If you thought 17 Again looked generic, if you thought... That whole thing looked overdone, then just watch that trailer for Ghost of Girlfriends Past.
And
then add in one of the worst pop songs in a trailer I have ever heard. Pictures of You. Like, who sings that song? And why do they sing music?
Oh, my God. Yeah, so Matthew McConaughey, he has become, you know,
the springtime rom-com guy.
Rom-com guy. Unfortunately, I mean, okay, dude, just look at these movies.
Let's go down
Fool's Gold, Failure to Launch. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, that was 2003, but, I mean, you know, it's just kind of ridiculous. Like, granted, Tropic Thunder, great cameo. It's not like he doesn't make...
And he's a good actor.
Yeah, he's a good actor. Frailty, check out that movie. Best role he's ever been in.
Incredible.
Yes.
He was not good in Amistad.
No.
But it's okay. Time to Kill, great.
Yes. Rain of Fire, not good. He was actually in U-571.
Rain of Fire. Hey, let's not hate on Rain of Fire. He was badass in that movie. Right. And Unified 7-1, he's great in Unified 7-1. I love
him. So anyway, okay, let's get, so yeah, this trailer is horrible.
Just listen, please, if you like this podcast, if you like this website, do whatever you can to not go to this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, unless nice segue, it turns out to be the pleasant surprise
that is
17 again.
So yeah, so this movie 17 again. Back to it. This movie surprised the HE double hockey sticks out of me. Oh wait, this movie's rated PG-13, so we can swear.
You can say hell. It surprised the douche out of me.
Yeah, which they say a lot in this movie. That's like the new word.
You say
I guess.
Douche, like I guess it's a cool word. Yeah. Or they're like,
And reactions from the film. Hit me up.
Fun.
Great word to describe this movie.
That's obviously the first word. Fun. Easy.
So easy to watch.
Easy. Easy is probably actually the best word. Easy. What?
Did it fly by? No, there was not any dead time.
Flew by.
Yeah.
Easy. Dude, if you just want to go to the movies and just chill. And then the last one, and this is on a completely heterosexual, well, I think, level. Yeah.
Well, after this movie, who knows?
Sexy. Huh. Because of that guy, Zac Efron, okay, listen, kid's a movie star.
Yeah.
The kid is a movie star.
What do you say, 10 years? Do you think he could be up for a little awards and, you know, Oscar? You think he
well, has the potential? Well, I think what he's going to have to do is he's going to have to do something kind of like what Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise did, which is like, you know, because like that's like, I feel like the level that he's playing on right now if this movie's a success. You know, if this is his like,
Risky
you
Business.
Know, I know. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, Risky Business is actually a great movie. This is not in that level, but I'm saying if success-wise it is, you know, he could, you know, he could take this and then, you know, option more serious movies the way that Tom Cruise did in the late 80s, you know, with like Rain Man and Born on the 4th of July, or do what Brad Pitt did, which is, you know, take his success in like Thelma and Louise and make a lot of strange films, like True Romance in California, and then kind of 20 years later make, you know, legitimate quote-unquote strange films like The Curious Case of Benjamin Button and get recognized for it.
Yeah.
You know, and he even got nominated for 12 Monkeys.
Brad Pitt and Tom,
I'm writing my review right now, and I'll probably say some things that are going to be in the text review on Friday. This is less of a film and more of a star vehicle. You know, it's almost like, there's sequences in the movie that clearly are just for Efron to show off his shit.
From the very opening scene.
Yeah, he's shirtless. The opening scene is shirtless. And then five minutes later, he is in a dance routine with the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Which is fabulous.
I was just
fabulous. Yeah. You know, I wish that I was joking, but I'm really not.
No, you know, and it's fine. I was going to say, in this movie, this a good supporting cast.
Great supporting cast. Thomas Lennon is freaking really funny in this movie.
He is Lieutenant Dangle from Reno 911, and he's also an I Love You Man. He plays a gay fella.
He's
funny in that show, in that movie. And this movie, he just, I was, because like some, with some of these movies, because he was in How to Lose a Guy in 10, or he was in
Yeah, he was. And how those guys attended with Adam Goldberg. Yeah,
and with that movie, he was just thrown away, like just like a car, like just
yeah. Well, it was
just the generic supporting character.
Yeah, and the worst part about it was like there were scenes where he would make a comment, and like I was just like, if you just kept the camera rolling for like 30 more seconds, it probably would have been hysterical.
Yeah, and so
kind of like what happens in Vegas. What, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
so when I, you know, went to go see 17 again, I was worried about this, you know, the same thing happening. Just
totally
him,
wasting.
Just,
just
this whole thing because Zac Efron, and he is in this movie. A lot. He's like plays a pretty
Thomas Lennon. Yeah.
Yeah, he plays a pretty
main role.
Pretty main role. So that was glad to see, and he's hilarious. And there's a lot of things in this movie that I was surprised
strange
to see, because you know,
like quirky.
Yeah, quirky. Like they have a lot of Star Wars references, Lord of the Rings references. Like it was just really interesting to see, and the humor is a little more.
There's some offbeat humor.
Yeah.
There's a huge lightsaber fight scene, like that's true.
Yeah.
And it's like well choreographed, and it's like fun to watch, and it's between Zac Efron and Thomas Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like that in a lesser generic movie, it would be not in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, and that's where I feel like maybe Burst Steers kind of had his say in some points. Mm-hmm. You know, like maybe it's okay. You want Zac to be shirtless? Okay, well then I can do this strange you know, tangent of jokes, which, you know, 20-year-old, you know, bloggers will laugh at, but 14-year-old girls will just kind of throw off because they just want to see Zac Efron smile in 5 minutes. Because
there was a lot of moments in the movie where we were laughing our asses off and no one else
and
was.
And no one else was. But then there were other moments where we weren't laughing. Yeah. And, like, Zac Efron would say something that was just kind of, it was throwaway.
Yeah.
And be like, oh my God, yeah. Zac.
Well, when he speaks, it's just like God comes down from the heavens.
Oh, my God.
He's great.
I mean, you know.
But seriously, like, this, like, I'm glad, you know, he really, put a lot of effort. I mean, it seems like in this role. There's some scenes where I was literally like pretty emotionally invested in.
Yeah, there's a scene where he has to put on the tears a little bit. Yeah, and he delivers it well. Yeah. I mean, listen, the kid is a movie star. You know, I'm not gonna say he's an actor. You know, like he's an actor. Like he's. Yeah. I mean, the kid is a movie star. He's a performer. He can deliver a joke.
Yeah.
He can be sarcastic.
There's in the film, Matthew Perry, his wife. Well, Zac Efron and Matthew Perry. I
mean, Leslie Mann.
Leslie Mann, yeah. You know, who's Judd Apatow's wife. She's in a lot of his films. She'll be in Funny People probably, right?
Mm-hmm. Now. Yeah. She is.
And they have this relationship when they're younger, Zac Efron and his wife. But, you know, she's 20 years older because he's 17 again. And
yes, he is.
And I thought that was one of the best. Their relationship was just so, like, they go through, kind of things we've seen in other films before, like the whole... I don't know if we want to give stuff away, but
it's like it's like weirdly incestuous kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it's odd. That's what I'm gonna say. There's a lot of odd parts in this movie that
and they don't really shy away from it, which is cool. Yeah. You know, what I liked.
And like, and he there's also a couple scenes with Trachtenberg, Michelle Trachtenberg.
Yeah.
She plays Matthew Perry's daughter.
Yeah, so Zac Efron's daughter. Right.
But Zac Efron and her go to the same high school, and they're. And
crazy.
There's some comedy that comes out of that, Dan. Can you believe
there
that?
There is a lot of comedy that comes
she's
out of
dating,
that.
She's dating a douche.
Yeah.
And
who's the school jock.
Yeah. And these...
one of those school jocks who don't exist.
Yeah.
Or at least not in my world, but yeah.
And there's just a lot of things that I didn't think I was going to laugh at that I did, you know, like...
Exactly. I mean, that's... hey, listen.
But their relationship gets kind of odd because, like, there's some weird scenes where, like...
Yeah.
But I don't...
I mean, granted, there were scenes that... There's scenes in the movie that are awkward and not even that funny.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, oh, and then you're like, but like, you just move on. And like, that's the way this movie is. It's like 80% of it's just fun. Yeah. Smile, you laugh. I was expecting nothing from this movie.
Yeah.
Literally nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so that could be why I think it was very good in terms of like.
I mean, but it seems like even people that had hopes for it were, you know, the.
Surprise, yeah. I mean, like, you know, the full crowd of mostly women that we were with seemed to really get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
You know, like no one, I don't think anyone walked out of the theater saying, oh, that was fucking horrible. Or, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, hey, listen.
No, Dan, this plot of the movie, it obviously borrows from a lot of films.
Yes.
I don't know if you're going to talk about it in your text review, but do you want to do a rundown of a couple movies that.
Yeah, I list a lot off in my review. Yeah. So, I mean, but it's pretty much.
It's a mix.
You know, if we're going to go from, you know, from old to new, we'll go. It's a Wonderful Life. You know, it's as huge, obviously. And then you have, from there, you have Back to the Future.
Quite
you
a
have,
time jump. But
you
yeah.
know, you could argue The Parent Trap, Freaky Friday.
13 Going on 30,
Big.
Yeah.
Click, you know, which borrows from, you know what I mean? It's just borrowing and borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. And this is just the next kind of those.
Vein.
But I mean, hey, listen. It works. That frame story works. Literally all the movies I just mentioned were hits.
Yeah.
Think about it. None of the movies I mentioned
did not do well. But there's probably movies out there that we're probably forgetting that probably did bad. But maybe they're
not. Many.
Really?
No. I mean, why do you think they keep on getting remade?
That's true.
I mean, Click was one of Adam Sandler's biggest movies.
Yeah.
13 Going on 30, huge hit.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Freaky Friday, the remakes, The Parent Trap, those movies were... Gods, like they were made shitloads of money. Like it just because it's a fun frame story, you know. It works.
Yeah.
You know it's the whole self introspective kind of a thing. It's an easy gimmick.
Definitely.
And the thing about this movie though, which I loved though about it actually, was that it knows that it's a gimmick.
Yeah.
It like makes jokes makes jokes about how ridiculous it is during the movie, and I got a total kick out of it.
Yeah.
So And Efron's going to be a movie star.
Definitely.
Kid's going to be a movie star. If this is a hit and his next movie's a hit, he's bigger than Shia LaBeouf.
I'm with you there.
You know.
I'm interested to check out Richard Linklater, his
Me and Orson Welles. Me and Orson Welles. Film. It was at the Toronto Film Festival.
We missed it.
Yeah, we missed it. But hopefully it gets released sometime. Because, I mean, it wasn't last year.
Oh, it will. I think it will get, yeah.
So maybe actually after this movie, it would be good. Maybe a fall release after, if this movie
is
huge.
Well, this movie's a success, I'd imagine. Yeah. That'd be awesome to see.
Yeah, the other thing I want to talk about this movie, whereas when we talked about the Ghost of Girlfriend's Past trailer, the music in that was just...
Okay, well, that one song was horrible, yeah.
And with this, the music... It was great. They
great,
had some spoon,
yeah.
Spoon
yeah, exactly.
in there. They had,
it seems like they were, yeah, it seemed, they had Cat Power.
Cat Power, the greatest. Great song. And
it seems like they were really trying to
branch
hit,
out the different
with
groups.
A lot of
yeah.
different groups.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't, we shouldn't probably talk about spoilers for this movie because it's just a fun movie.
No, we don't need
So, what do you think? You know, do you think this movie will be a hit?
I think my prediction, I'm gonna stick with this. My prediction for this opening weekend is $45 million. You can put the stamp
that
on that.
Huge.
I think it's going to be $45
million. I just saw a prediction where they said $17 million, so...
Really?
Yeah. So...
$17
million. Yeah, so the people that do weekly predictions. So, Dan, that'll be interesting to see.
Wow.
but number one was $17 million, and then, you know... Crank 14, but
I don't know. I think it's gonna be more than 17. Right. I mean, listen, 45, you know, might be high.
I mean, I think this movie will have a good
I think
run,
it's gonna be more than
17. Run.
I mean,
45 is pretty high, Dan.
It is high.
Hannah Montana only made 30, but we were saying how this one.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like it should make as much as that.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what I think about that. But I guess
I really
Hannah
hope
Montana
it does
huge.
Well. I mean, when I saw this movie, I posted it on a message board that I frequent, and like people just, you know. Made fun of me, of course, as expected. And I, you know, I said, wait till Friday, check it out. I know they won't, but, you know, I'm just interested to see what the group of people that are like us that, you know, aren't looking for this film, what they think, you know.
I'm going to say somewhere between 30 and 45. That's what I'll say. Like, I mean, I still think it's possible that it could make that much money. But, I mean, I guess if people are predicting it's going to be 17, that I'm assuming our industry have industry ins.
Yeah.
But I still think it's going to make it a lot more. I mean, after all, Fast and Furious did make 72.5.
Yeah.
No one predicted that, no. So who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I heard Star Trek is actually tracking around, like, only 50 million or a little higher.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But Wolverine's tracking around 80 to 100, so.
What?
Yeah.
For opening week?
Opening weekend.
Wolverine's tracking 80 to 100?
Yep. But, dude, okay, if Fast and Furious can make 72.5, I feel like Wolverine can make 80. At least 80.
Yeah, well, then I feel like 17 again can make 40.
I know. Dude, I'm not saying you're wrong, but
no, I'm just trying to convince myself.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. When I saw that the guy predicted 17, that was weird.
Crazy.
But
we'll see.
Yeah, so final word on 17 again. What do you think?
The best version of a movie you've seen a million times, you're probably going to get nowadays.
The best version of Forrest Gump that you will see is The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. I'm just kidding. No, yeah, no. I think this movie really will find an audience. At least I hope. And
I think it'll make Zac Efron a movie.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know a lot of people listening. If you've listened to our last four podcasts, we've reviewed movies that aren't exactly for this audience. So this is a little change for us, you know.
Yeah, and which I think was good for us.
And so if you're still listening after we reviewed 17 again, definitely. If you either get A, dragged to it, B, secretly love Zac Efron, which hopefully some of you do.
Well, now I openly love Zac Efron.
Yeah.
So.
Or C, Adam Lee do actually want to see this movie. Or D, you check out every movie anyways. And you see this.
Like
don't,
us.
Yeah. Don't be worried because it is good. I know you will have a good time.
Just, you know, enjoy.
Enjoy it.
Simple as that.
Yep. All right. So 17 again. Check it out. What would you give it out of 10?
7.
7. I am with you on that. I would give it a 7 as well.
There it is.
Yep. All right. So, moving on. This coming week, there's actually a lot of good movies coming out.
Hopefully good movies, yeah.
Yeah, 17 again was good. Crank, High Voltage. No one knows so what that will be like. But anything like Crank, it'll be fun.
State of Play, 75% right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, nice. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of our reviewers, Jack Jirwa, he saw it. Gave it, I think, 8 out of 10.
8.5 out of 10, I believe.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah.
Wait, no. Wasn't it 7.5 out of 10?
It was 7.5, but he wasn't sure. He hasn't published a review yet. So.
Oh, okay.
So it's coming up Friday, but he enjoyed it. He's seen the BBC miniseries it was based on, so I don't
know. Oh, that's good.
That made him not enjoy it as much because it was very strictly
based. I heard
based
the miniseries was great, though.
Yeah, but I heard it was great. So for people that don't know anything about it, I think it's going to be quite a surprise
right.
In terms of being good.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it.
Now, next yeah, so those are the three main movies. Now next week, we'll hopefully be doing a podcast. I can see, and
definitely doing a podcast.
And the movies, we're definitely seeing The Soloist next Tuesday.
So that'll be the main review, but we're going to mix it up a little bit. We're going to have a kind of a special segment with our buddy John Rannick, who stopped by. He's going to stop by because he's going to come with us to see Crank on Sunday.
Oh yeah.
So he's going to stop by and be visiting and sit in with us on the Crank.
Yeah.
High Voltage part of the podcast, which will be like a sub review.
Yeah, kind of like Fast and Furious, but to
a good extent. Exactly, to a great extent.
And then I'm also seeing you're not going with me by the way, but Earth on Monday. I don't know. I feel like that's a movie that we'll just talk about.
It's the Planet Earth movie.
Yeah. So, and then I'm also seeing Paris 36, French musical in the morning. That is not coming out here until May 8th. So we're going to say that for later a while. Podcast.
Yeah, which is fine. But and then hopefully one of us will have seen State of Play by then, so we could make a comment. Oh, yeah. So I plan to see it as soon as I can because I'm really excited. Yeah, so.
And I'll go with you.
Definitely.
All right, so that wraps it up for the fifth episode of the Film Stage Podcast. Please, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes if you can.
That's free.
You should be able to, and it's free. Also, please email us any comments, questions, stuff. If you have a topic, or even actually, good idea, if you have a movie that you want us to review, just email us.
Definitely.
We will watch it. We will watch this movie, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Any movie you want us to review,
yeah.
And we will review it. We will watch it.
Yeah.
Definitely. And yeah, email it to us, jpraup@gmail.com, and leave a comment on the podcast that you're listening to right now, and we'll review it. And you can also follow me at twitter.com/thefilmstage.
And then you can follow me at twitter.com/DJMECCA.
Thank you all for listening, and enjoy 17 again.
Good night and good luck.
Good night.